Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, Episode 364, The Winning Team. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Resurrection Sunday, March 31st, 2024, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How is everyone today? All right. Happy Resurrection Day. Praise the Lord. Who knows that it's about Jesus, not about the Easter bunny or finding plastic eggs or any of that. Praise the Lord. Jesus is alive. He is our King. He is the glorious one. He is a wonderful Savior. So welcome. Welcome to those listening on live stream today. Hi, Mom and Dad. I think you might be watching, listening. Praise the Lord. God is good. All the time. God is good. I still need to practice that sometimes. Praise the Lord. All right. Hallelujah. Okay, we're going to jump right in.
Let's go.
You ready? Yes. Buckle up. Okay. Praise God. I don't know that I have much of an introduction today, so we're just going to jump right in, right? We're talking about the resurrection of Jesus. The title of this message is The Winning Team. Guess what? I'm going to tell you the end of the story, and then we're going to go back to the beginning of the story. The end of the story is, good news in case you haven't read to the end yet, or if you're reading straight from A to Z, the Z is Jesus lives today. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. We are on the winning team. Praise the Lord. So don't be discouraged by what you see. Don't be discouraged by any decrees that were gone out this weekend over our nation about some certain agenda, because guess what? I heard in prayer this morning, we have an agenda. We have the Jesus agenda, that he is on the throne no matter what anyone declares over our nation or what this day is about. It's about Jesus, and Jesus lives again. Jesus is resurrected. Hallelujah. The spirit of preach is already on, and we're ready to go. So praise God. Buckle up, because I feel the energy. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you fired up? Yeah. Woo! There is zeal in the house of the Lord today. Praise the Lord. All right. I've got a verse for you. It is in Romans 8. I love this verse, and I think this was the first that when I became a born-again Christian, when I reconnected and dedicated my life to Jesus after having known about Jesus through, you know, just through the motions of going to church, but never really connecting with him and giving him my life. So when I did that, this verse, Romans 8, 1 and 2, especially 1, I just remember that being like one of the first verses that hit my heart, that I got revelation, that there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That is some good news today. Almost too good to be true news. That's what the gospel, the word gospel means. It's almost too good to be true news. So let's read this verse in the Passion Translation. It's already up. Thank you to the guys and the ladies in the back. We love you, the whole service team. We're training new sound people, new media people, new live stream people. You're doing a phenomenal job. So thank you so much to your serving hearts and those that are on the team, but maybe not back there today. Love you, everyone who has a part in the service. Okay, just had to say that. Praise God. All right, so Romans 8, 1 and 2, the Passion Translation says it like this. So now the case is closed. Imagine like the verdict, the, what's that called? The gavel, the judge at the end of the case, you know, it doesn't say that, but bam, bam, you know, tap, tap, like the case is closed. I'd make a bad judge. The case is closed. It's finished. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus. Is that you today? Have you joined your life with a life union with Jesus? Have you given your heart to him? Have you said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of your life? If you have, then this is for you. And if you haven't, this is for you too, because you can jump in today on this promise. So if you've done that, I love how the Passion Translation says it, life union. It's not just an emotional thing one day that you say, oh, Jesus loves me, or I love Jesus. It's a life union, a walk, a commitment to walk with him throughout your whole life. So if you are joining, have joined your life in a life, it's life, the life union, it's all about the life of Jesus, then he's the anointed one, it says, then there is no accusing voice against you. No condemnation. Everybody say, no condemnation.
No condemnation.
Praise the Lord. Why? Verse 2. Law of life flowing through the anointing of Jesus has liberated us from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can get excited about that. That is some good news, some great news, because if you are in Christ Jesus, if you have this life union with him, then the accuser, who's the accuser? Satan, right? The Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. That's the brothers and sisters. That's us. He loves to accuse us. Anybody ever hear some accusations that he's the father of lies also. Anybody ever hear any accusations, any lies that he says?
Yes.
Yeah, right? Like you're alone. Like you should be scared. Like did you get that? Like, I'm on double time up here. Praise the Lord. Like your life is worthless, that you are a piece of junk, that you're a mistake, that XYZ, lots of things. You're never going to measure up to anything, that you're not going to receive the promise, that you're always going to stay sick, blah, 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 blah. Shut up, devil. You are silenced. Your accusing, lying voice is silenced because of Jesus, the anointed one, and he reigns in my life. So would you like those lies to forever be silenced in your life, in your mind, in your heart? Okay, well then, we're going to tear apart this verse. We're going to see how that can be. Because, yeah, it's amazing to live liberated, like it says here, from that condemnation, from the accusation always hanging over you that you are a mistake, that you're not going to get, or that you're not healed, or whatever it is, that you're not going to receive the promise that that he has promised you, or that you're praying for, that your children won't be saved, this and that and the other thing, that everything's going to end up bad and terrible. Well, shut up. You can say that in church when you're talking to the devil. You can say that. Shut up, devil. Condemnation, the definition of it is the expression of a very strong disapproval or judgment. He loves to, the devil, Satan, the father of lies, the accuser of the brethren, loves to express that over us, the strong disapproval or his judgment, his criticism against us. Well, guess what? Today, we're ripping that power out of that accusation and the lies and the stuff that he says to you. It has no more power and authority because of what Jesus did. So in that verse 2, for the Romans 8 verse 2, the law of the spirit of life, what's that you say? Flowing through the anointing of Jesus. Okay, it has to do with Jesus. That came from Jesus. The law of the spirit of life has set us free or liberated us from this law of sin and death. Okay, Pastor Sarah, you've talking about two laws here. Break it apart for me. Okay, good idea. I will do that. So let's do that. Because the author here is telling us how or why there can be no condemnation. And he's going into it by the contrast of these two laws. So let's talk about the best one, the first one that's mentioned here. The law of the spirit of life. Okay? God established one master law in the Garden of Eden, right? He created in Genesis 1, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters and there was nothing, right? And he used the power of his words and released that creative power just like we have, because we have been born and created in his likeness and image. So that's a freebie right there. We have that same power to create with our words, like Sister Tanya was talking about, to release things. That's how God released faith. And when you see that in Genesis 1, that God spoke and then things, the universe was created, right? Different parts, the sun and the moon and the stars and night and day and all the things that he created. He created this one master law, right? And when he created heaven and earth, by his word, they were spiritually connected, heaven and earth. This is in Genesis 1. So that everything good that comes from divine life, it was flowing freely without hindrance. This was the heart of God. This was his dream, to create this paradise, if you will, this connection between heaven and earth, where everything good that God dreamed of for his creation, for the universe, for man and woman, us, would be flowing freely. Nothing would be hindered, right? That sounds like a good, pretty good place. That means there was total wellness, total wholeness. Healing was not even needed because there was just a divine health, right? If you have divine supernatural health all the time, then there's no need really to be healed, right? You're just supernaturally divine. It's like being in heaven, right? There's prosperity, there's peace, there's love, there's joy, there's success, there's righteousness, being right with God. There was no illness, no poverty, no lack, no brokenness, no tears, right? And so then in Genesis 2, we see that God created Adam and Eve, right? He created them, formed them from the dust. Praise the Lord. You can study more about that in Genesis 2. And then he gave Adam and Eve rule or dominion over everything that creeps on the earth and all the creeps, right? He said, Adam, Eve, I'm giving you power and authority over all the creeps, over the snakes, all the things, over all the bugs, over all the critters, over to take care of the bushes and the trees and the land and all of it, right? And it was good. And there was intimacy between God the Father, the heart of the Father for his children, for Adam and Eve. And he walked with them and talked with them in the cool of the day. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being there with God and having that kind of perfection? That came from the law of the Spirit of life, the shalom peace of God, where nothing was missing, nothing was broken, and it was all good with God. Okay, so didn't stay that way, did it? Nope. Okay, then what happened? Who came in there? Somebody slithered in there, right? In Genesis 3, we see that the serpent came, well, a devil came in the form of a serpent, and he questioned the word of God. He contradicted God's word and just placed that doubt. First, he placed a doubt, then he contradicted what God had spoken to Eve, right? And she was deceived. She fell into that trap and sin happened and Adam agreed with her, right? And they both, the fellowship, that shalom, perfect peace with God, and in that situation there that God had created of the law of spirit of life was destroyed. It was ruined. There was a rupture there because of their disobedience, because of the sin that entered. It was Adam's fault, one woman says. Okay, well, that's to be debated. Anyways, we won't get hung up on that. they sold over their authority, their dominion and rule that they had, right, to the devil. So then the devil had dominion. He had reign over mankind and the earth and creation. Not a good situation, right? Not what God had dreamed and planned and orchestrated and spoken with his mouth so that it could be that way. Not at all, right? The devil took what God had created, because you see, the devil is not a creator. Only God is the creator, right? And so God created man and woman. Devil tries to pervert that and say, this is the definition of a man. This is a definition of a woman. There's some gray here. No. Don't be confused. Only God can create, because only God is the creator. What Satan does is he perverts or twists what God creates, right? And so the devil took what God created, the law of spirit of life, and he twisted it so that it was like the reciprocal, the opposite. So out of the law of the spirit of life that God created to be perfect, and all of that description that I gave, the devil came in, right, and he perverted it, twisted it, created that reciprocal of the law of spirit of life to then enter the law of sin and death, right? Is this making sense? You're tracking? Okay, praise God. So we have the law of the spirit of life, and we have now the law of sin and death. This is where every blessing that was in the heart of God to bless the earth and bless his creation, man and woman, now has become a curse because of the fall of man and then Satan perverting everything, twisting it. Romans 6 tells us about this. Romans 6, 23. It says, in some versions it says, for the wages of sin is death. Wages is like the consequence, the fruit, what you deserve, right? If you work a job, the wage is what you get paid, right? What you earn, right? So the wage of your sin is death. Not a physical death necessarily, but spiritual death, being separated from God. And the Passion Translation says it like this: for sin's meager wages is death, but God's lavish gift is life eternal. You can see the contrast there. We have death on one side, which is the result of sin, right? Being separated from God. And God's lavish gift is life eternal, living forever. It's found in your union with our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. So because of the sin, it caused death. It caused death, an interruption, a disruption in that perfect shalom peace. That is the law of the spirit, the law of sin and death. I'm going to try not to get tripped up on the names of the two. All right, go ahead and put that chart up here for me. You guys know I'm a teacher, right? I have a teacher background. I have a degree in elementary and special education. Praise the Lord. So I'm teacher. I like charts. And so this is stated out here, the contrast between the two, right? What God created, the law of spirit of life, he created that in the Garden of Eden. What's expressed here in the chart is then what we're going to jump to. It's the expression here of the new birth of when Jesus comes, and we're going to get there. So on that side is Jesus Christ, the law of sin and death, who authored that, who perverted that to get over here to the law of sin and death? Satan, right? The accuser, the liar. The law of spirit of life on that side, the new birth. The law of sin and death, spiritual death, right? On the spirit of life side, there's intimacy. There's connection. On the other side, there's a separation. That's the spiritual death, being further away, being away from God, right? The baptism in the Spirit, praise the Lord. It's full intimacy, full connection with the Spirit of God. And the law of sin and death causes demonic oppression, right? Total opposite. Not just feeling, but just total opposite state of the spirit of man, right? From when you are baptized in the Holy Spirit to when you're experiencing demonic oppression. On the side of life, the winning team side, the spirit of life that God has authored, there's righteousness. There is right standing for us in Christ Jesus. That when God looks at us, he sees Jesus. Because Jesus, when he poured out his blood, he made us right with him. On this side, where Satan perverted that into the law of sin and death, we have unrighteousness. Like, we're not right with God. There's a chasm there. There's a division there. We are under... We owe a debt, in other words. There's a problem. We have a debt that we can't pay. How are we going to pay this debt? Like, the wrath of God is against us. There's a punishment hanging over us. On this side, the spirit of life, there is healing. Praise the Lord. Today's a healing service, so we're going to talk about that. Hallelujah. And on this side, the law of sin and death, what's the opposite of that? Sickness, right? Then prosperity, opposite poverty, the side of spirit of life, love. On the other side, hate or hatred. On this side, the law of spirit of life, success, victory in Jesus Christ. There's only success when you're walking on the path of life with Jesus, when you're abiding in the vine. Satan always wants to cause failure, right? He wants to cause failure in our lives. The law of the spirit of life, all of this is activated by our faith. We receive it in our spirit, and the way things are activated in our spirit is by our faith, simply by us believing. And then, like Sister Tanya talked about, releasing that. How do we release that? Through this powerful messenger right here. The tongue. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. It's activated by our faith, what I believe, and me speaking that out. Right? And then the law of sin and death is activated by fear. Fear is a force, just like faith is, but it's the perverted force of faith. Does that make sense? And so fear activates and attracts the thing that I'm most afraid of. Oh, I'm going to get this. Oh, I'm going to get this virus. Oh, I'm going to get this bacteria. Oh, I'm going to. You're actually drawing it to yourself by fearing that. And it opens a door to the demonic realm, right? The opposite is faith that's authored by God that we also have. Praise the Lord. And it's up to us to exercise and activate our faith. Okay, so does that make sense? You see the difference of the law of spirit of life versus the law of sin and death. Praise the Lord. Okay, so faith was the creative power of God that he gave to mankind, to Adam and Eve, to use to rule the earth. I'm sure he taught them about that and taught them how to activate their faith in the garden, right? But it became fear, and it was seen, you could see that when they fell into sin and this law of sin and death was authored, right? It was the law of spirit of life was perverted, then fear came about. Right? And we see this when Adam and Eve, what did they do? They hid. They hid behind the leaves, right? They were naked. And it was like, who told you you were naked? They began to hide themselves because of fear. And that's what fear does. That's what fear does. People were now enslaved, right? Adam and Eve were now enslaved, slaves, in other words, in captivity to the devil. Because of this law of sin and death. That was not the plan of God. That was not the dream in God's heart for his creation. So God's like, well, now I have a problem. No, Jesus, right? We win because God always wins, right? God then said, well, the story's not over. God sent, this is now thousands of years much later, God sent his own son, everybody say his name, Jesus, in the form of man, to reverse the curse of sin because of love. Because he loved you so much, because he loved me so much, God sent Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice, to make all of this mess go back, to reverse the curse that was over God's dream and God's heart and God's creation, his beloved children, us, right? So Jesus, he not only went to the cross, but he went into hell to pay the price for sin and take its penalty on himself. Hallelujah. Yes, that's a good place to say amen. Hallelujah. Get excited about that. Because guess what that means for you? There was condemnation over you. There was a debt that you couldn't pay because of your sin. Sin caused this division, and it caused the wrath of God to be over you, like you're not worthy, you're not right with God, right? Because of sin, because sin was in the world. But by God raising Jesus from the dead, God reinstated, he brought back the law of spirit of life. So when you thought it was bad, or when you think it's bad today, of like, oh my gosh, look, the law of sin and death, and Satan is roaming around and he could do whatever. Not if you're in Jesus. Not if you're in Jesus, because he came to reverse the curse over your life, to pay that penalty of sin and reinstate the law of the spirit of life. So this, the law of spirit of life, is active and alive and true and belongs to anyone who is in Christ Jesus. Anyone who has said yes to Jesus being Lord, that means being in charge of all the areas of your life. That is some good news. So every blessing that was in the beginning of creation, in the Garden of Eden, like that paradise description that we gave, that is now restored to us who believe. There's no more curse of death on us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No more death on me. Can't hold me down. Praise the Lord. So let's go back to the verse that we started with. Again, Romans 8, 1 and 2. Now the case is closed. Gabbled. There, I got it. That was better, right? I redeemed it. Thank you, Lord. There remains no accusing voice of condemnation against those who are joined in life union with Jesus, the Anointed One. For the law of the Spirit of life, flowing through the anointing of Jesus, has liberated us from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. Now that makes a little more sense, now that we took that apart and explained it a little bit, right? Yes. Okay, praise the Lord. So as far as God is concerned, everyone that has that life union joined with Jesus, the Anointed One, has been delivered from Satan's law of sin and death. Jesus has done everything necessary. That's what this means. That Jesus has done everything necessary for you and for me to live free, to live in like with the categories or characteristics of the spirit of life, to live healed, to live whole, to live free of any accusation, free of any demonic oppression, free of any sickness in my body, to have full prosperity, full peace of mind, all of the good things, intimacy with the Father, righteousness with the Father, that there's no more debt hanging over me. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm preaching myself really happy today. Praise God. He's done everything already. Like Sister Tanya said, he already did it. We already have it. If you were born again in Jesus, you all of that from the spirit of life was deposited into you, into your spirit, when you received Jesus as Lord. That means it's all there. Ha! Wow! Wow, wow. Okay. So let's explain a few more things. Galatians 3, help us out, Galatians 3, 13 through 14. It says, take a sip, get it up there. You can get it in your Bibles, those of you that are old-fashioned like me and like to turn the pages. Okay, and it's okay if you have a smartphone too. All right, praise the Lord. Use it for the glory of God and to help you get the word in. We've got so much technology to help us. All right, Galatians 3, 13 to 14, it says, yet Christ paid the full price to set us free from the curse of the law. He absorbed the curse completely as he became a curse in our place. For it is written, everyone who is hung upon a tree is cursed. 14, Jesus Christ dissolved the curse from our lives so that in him all the blessings of Abraham can be poured out upon Gentiles. That's you and me, non-Jewish believers, that you and me. Now through faith, we receive the promised Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. He paid the full price, the debt of our sin, the curse of the law. We were cursed. We were cursed, and the wrath of God stood against us with a punishment that we couldn't pay. Right? Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. A few years back, I had been listening to a sermon about this. Maybe I listened once or a few times, but I think the preacher, the person who was ministering, repeated that several times about, you know, you've been redeemed from the curse of the law. And that got in me. It got so much in me that I woke up one night, I sat up in bed, and I said, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Like it was going on. There was a teaching going on in my spirit in the middle of the night. And do you remember that? I was married. My poor husband gets to hear church service in the middle of the night. And he's like, sometimes you're praying in tongues. And sometimes you sit straight up and say, I've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Like it was really getting of me, this revelation that there's no more curse against me. There's no more death in any of its forms that it would try to creep into me. And we need to get our minds renewed to this because we shouldn't and we don't have to experience any form of death that tries to creep in because of sin. Sin in the world, I'm talking about, like the greater sin because of the fall of man. Wow. And that same night when I got that, that revelation and I spoke that out, then the Lord also spoke to me, Colossians 2. And I think I was probably turning on my light on my phone and like trying to figure out what, in the middle of the night what Colossians 2 was and what that was about. So let's go there because, man, I love that so much. It's toward the end of Colossians 2. And it's in verse 13. The Passion says it so poetically. It says, this realm of death describes our former state, like from the law of sin and death, our former state, for we were held in sin's grasp. But now we've been resurrected out of that realm of death, never to return, for we are forever alive and forgiven of all our sins. He canceled out every legal violation we had on our record and the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He erased it all, our sins, our stained soul. He deleted it all, and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam has been placed onto his cross and nailed permanently there as a public display of cancellation. Wow. Then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers and principalities of darkness, stripping away from them every weapon and all their spiritual authority and power to accuse us. There's that accuse word, that accusation, condemnation that comes from Satan. And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his prisoner. He turned the tables, didn't he? Praise the Lord. That is awesome. He, in the NIV, it says he disarmed. Like, think about a bomb being armed, just ticking, tick, 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 waiting for this to blow up. Jesus came and disarmed that bomb that was about to destroy us because of sin and death. Right? He stripped away all the power of the of the principalities in darkness. He took away the power and authority that they had to accuse us and condemn us and say all the lies. Jesus took all of that away and nailed it to the cross and made a public spectacle of it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let that wake you up in the middle of the night and you say, God, it all. He triumphed over my enemies. He's redeemed me from the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Whew. This is exciting. So exciting. What in the world, Pastor Sarah, does this have to do with healing? You're talking about the law of the spirit of life and the law of sin of death. Well, it has a lot to do with healing. Did you see healing on the list there? Versus what was the opposite? The perversion of that sickness, right? Well, it has a lot to do with it. Sin in the world, right? The fall of man, disobedience of Adam and Eve, it caused sin in the world, correct? And so sin in the world leads to a spiritual death, which we said, right? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, a spiritual death, separation from God. And that sin, greater sin in the world can cause, right? Well, we said death, which can cause sickness. One form of death would be sickness in our body. Like the death starts to like creep in and I start to, you know, have symptoms of something. I start to have pain in my body or I get diagnosed with XYZ ugly illness, right? That is a form of death. So sickness is the fruit or the consequence of sin and death in our lives. Could you bring that illustration up for me? This lovely plant. Oh boy, this plant is hurting. Okay, well, I took it out of its natural place that it loves. It loves to be cool. And so my poor little plant is suffering a little bit here, but I like to use plants as illustrations because it gives us a visual of sort of what we're talking about here. So, all right, Jesus, we know, took care of the root problem, sin in the world, by forgiving and redeeming us. So let's say that this plant has some roots, right? We can't see the roots. They're down under. They're in the soil there. And let's say if those roots, if I soaked them in poison, in something that contained poison, that would activate a process of death in this plant, correct? Yeah. Right? So let's say that poison is like sin. It's the same effect that poison would have on this first the root system, and then it would begin to affect, you know, if the roots, what you can't see, are soaked in poison, soaked in bad stuff, then sooner or later, maybe sooner, it's going to start looking not so good, right? It's going to affect the what you do see, the branch, the leaves, the blooms kind of looks like, I promise I haven't soaked this in poison, but it looks kind of not so good. She needs a little help. You can come up and pray for my plant at the end. But we're just, you know, we're speaking the life over her, so she'll get the word and receive. Praise the Lord. I don't know if it works that way for plants. But anyways, talk to my husband. He's up here smiling because he does sing and talk to and pray over our plants and tries to keep me away from them because, yeah. Anyways, that's another story. So he says, do not water my plants because I get very happy watering and water too much. Anyways, so that would activate a process and it would begin to affect this, right? The same thing happens in us. If our roots, that would be like our spirit, is contaminated and there is sin, because of sin in the world, right, and even chronic sin in my life, then that's going to begin to affect then what you can see. It's going to affect my mind. It's going to affect my body, right? The blooms of my life, so to speak. But if I take that poison source away, after it's been soaked, you know, the roots have been soaked in poison. If I take that away, then the plant is going to become healthy again. If I start giving it good nutrients, I put it in good soil, I water it, I give it sun, all the things that it needs, right? Sun, we need the sun, we need the word of God, we need to have it watered, we need seed of the word that doesn't perish, right? The incorruptible seed of the word that doesn't perish in our lives, and it will produce fruit and we will bloom, right? So these are some good words, the scriptures, these are some good seed that you can soak your roots in this week to really get this revelation of what I'm talking about, that we're on the winning team, that we have this resurrection power of Jesus, that he canceled out the debt for us, right? That the cross represents redemption for us, redemption for this plant. When I take away, you know, I'm cutting off, when I take away the poison source, I'm cutting off, I'm stripping away the root, if you will, of the source of what was causing death in this plant, right? And so if you were experiencing or have been experiencing, you know, some sickness or illness or pain or infirmity or any whatever symptom of disease or illness, or even received, you know, a diagnosis of that from a doctor, then guess what? The power and the authority has been stripped away from that, just like when we take away the poison from the plant. It's Jesus did it. Jesus did it all. He paid the price for that sickness on the cross. Right? When he came back, remember we said he came back, he shed his blood on the cross, and so whatever was shown and whatever was manifested from the law of sin and death, which sickness was one, right? Jesus took care of that by reinstating the law of the Spirit of life. He reversed that curse. So in a sense, Jesus took away that poison from us, because when we were born again, we received healing. We received prosperity. We even received divine health in us. But guess what? It's sort of locked away in our spirit. It resides in our spirit until we can open that valve, like Sister Tanya was talking about, and get our minds renewed to the Word of God, to really let it sink down in what Jesus did for us. That I don't have to suffer sin, and or I don't have to suffer sickness and symptoms and illness in my body, because he gave all to me in my spirit. He has, from Romans, right? He has, where to go? He has redeemed me. That's Galatians. He has, for the law of spirit of life flowing through Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So this law of sin and death produced sickness. Did I say that right? Yeah, let's say it again. The law of sin and death, yes, created sickness, symptoms, illness in my body, but God, Jesus, set me free from that. He set me free. I have everything in me to receive his life. The spirit of life has been reactivated in my body, in my spirit, in my being. The problem is, what you say to me, well, you know, well, why am I still sick? Or why do I still have this pain? Because we got to get our minds renewed. I'm preaching to myself and I am working. Yes, it is finished. On the cross, it was done. When Jesus gave up his spirit, he said, it is finished. It is done. And that's how it is with us. When we received him, we got all we need for life and godliness, all we need for divine everything, divine intimacy, connection with Father God was taking care of Jesus. Hallelujah. Okay. Praise God. Romans 8. Let's go back to that good book. 8, 10 and 11. Now Christ lives his life in you. And even though your body may be dead because of the effects of his life-giving spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Yes, God raised Jesus to life. And since God's spirit of resurrection lives in you, he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. Amen. Hallelujah. That is awesome. His life-giving spirit imparts life to you. No more death, no more repercussions or any consequences of whatever death could produce in your body, in your mind, in your whole being. No more. Jesus took, he erased all of that. He deleted it. He raised you to life. God has raised you to life through the blood of Jesus. And that's why it says that he will also raise your dying body to life by the same spirit that breathes life into you. Where it's at is that we've got to understand that. We've got to understand in our minds, the soulish part of us, really what he did and what that word means. We've got to get our minds renewed to the word of God of what Jesus did for us, what I already have. It's all available to me. Divine health and healing and peace in my mind and prosperity and things is it's mine. Belongs to me. I've got to activate it. I've got to get faith by believing, right? And then I release it with words, right? And my mind is a part of that, getting my mind renewed and getting my mind. Sometimes it's okay to do this. I do this sometimes. I lay hands on myself, right? And say, you line up. You line up. And so if the accuser is trying to come and say, you're not healed. You didn't get that. You feel that pain right there. Shut up. No, I'm healed. Mind you, get right. You get right with the word of God and put the word in. Put the word in. Put the word in so much that you wake up at 3 a.m. declaring out the word, because there's still church service going on in your spirit, and the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is ministering to you while you sleep. That's like multitasking at its finest, right? You keep going, but you got to put in that good seed, and the Holy Spirit will do work for you while you sleep. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So some therefore key points. Lock these away in your brain, in your heart. And those of you that are taking notes, one, I've got four key points, and then we'll do our conclusion and we'll hoop and holler because Jesus is so good. His love toward you destroyed death and any form of death in you. Every attack on your life that has tried to come against you, it's been destroyed, including sickness. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself, who's he? Are you awake? Jesus, good, you're awake. Jesus himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. By his wounds, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. He did it. He carried it, so why would I have to? I don't have to. It's not my sickness. It's not my pain. It's his, because he carried it. And guess what? If he took it away and carried it, it's not mine. It doesn't belong to me, and it doesn't come back on me. He took it once and for all. Amen. So, number two, if Jesus couldn't stay dead in the grave, that's what we're celebrating this weekend, right? That the stone was rolled away. They couldn't find him in the tomb. If Jesus couldn't stay dead in the grave, then you can't either. You can't stay dead in any form of death that tries to come against you. You can't stay dead if you are truly alive in Christ Jesus and you get your mind renewed to that. Because he says, and this is later in Romans, you are more than a conqueror. He's made you more than a conqueror because of Jesus. And his life, the resurrection life power of Jesus lives inside of you. You can't be held for death. So Jesus isn't in the grave, and you aren't either. No more depression, no more anxiety. Hallelujah. You have been set free. Praise the Lord. Third point, resurrection power. Dunamis power lives on the inside of you. power that brings healing, that brings blessing, that brings victory, success, all the good things that were listed, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, intimacy with the Father, that all lives on the inside of you if you have been born again. Resurrected life belongs to you. It is in you. John 11, there were so many verses. It was so hard to choose just some verses. And I didn't want to overwhelm with verses, but scripture is spirit and it's life. It's healing to all our flesh. And so just bear with me. We got just a few more. John 11, 25 and 26. I am the resurrection, Jesus says. And I am life eternal. Anyone who clings to me in faith, even though he dies, will live forever. And the one who lives by believing in me will never die. He said that in context of Lazarus. You can go and read that story in John 11. But he says, I am the resurrection and I am life eternal. Anyone who believes, clings to, grabs hold of me in faith, though he dies, he will live forever. And we can experience that, not just when we go to heaven, but here, now, eternal life, now. Because he's given it all to us. Belong. Four, that you carry the same power of Jesus. You carry that same power of Jesus on the inside of you. Believe that you are on the winning team. No more sadness, no more death and destruction. We win. We win today, and we win tomorrow, and we win the next day. We're never on the losing team. And if you stay on the path of life with Jesus, Psalm 16, you stay abiding in him, no matter what happens, no matter what it looks like, you experience the life of Jesus and his resurrection power. Hallelujah. Yes, you win. The defeated enemy, he sees the resurrection power of Jesus when he looks at you. And guess what? He's the one who's scared, the true scared one. He's trembling in his boots because of the power that we carry on the inside of us. Let's unleash the power that he's given us in our spirit when we were born again. Let's let it not just be spirit, but our mind and our body is experiencing something different. Let's release that faith so we experience all the resurrection power, right? And that we're really walking in it and really make the devil tremble. Hallelujah. He should be afraid of us. He should be. Let's be a church that really makes the devil quake and makes him fear. We're walking in that resurrection power, knowing who we are in Christ, that we have the identity of what is described in Ephesians 1, that we hold our heads high, knowing that we are more than conquerors through Christ. Hallelujah. That he stripped all the powers and the principalities, stripped all the power away from that tried to hold us down and would try to hold us in the grave. He stripped that away from us. Let us be a church that walks that way, blessing people, praying people, that they can also experience the life-giving resurrection power of Jesus. Is somebody getting excited in here? Yeah. Somebody help me preach. Hallelujah. All right. Conclusion. Romans 6, verse 5. There is no more effect of sin in our lives. Right? And we said the effect of sin creeping up like poison in a plant would be a form of death, would be sickness. No more effect of that. For since we are permanently grafted into him to experience a death like his, then we are permanently grafted into him to experience a resurrection like his. Let's not focus on the death part. We're going to focus that Jesus got up out of the grave, that he was resurrected, and we are too. We are resurrected with him to experience the new life, it says in the end of that verse, and to experience a resurrection like his and the new life that it imparts. Hallelujah. There's another verse. Verse 6. Could it be any clearer that our former identity is now and forever deprived of its power? For we were co-crucified with him. crucified together with Jesus to dismantle the stronghold of sin within us. There's no more sin put together in us because Jesus came to dismantle, take it apart, disarm it so that we would not continue to live one moment longer submitted to sin's power. Hallelujah. Let's live that out, church. To live the resurrection, we put the old man, the old woman, the old self, our old nature. Guess where we can put it? In the grave. Put the old man, the old person, your old ways, the old impulses, sins, appetites, desires, put it in the grave and pick up the new from the law of the Spirit of life of Jesus. That when he poured his blood out on the cross, he gave to each of us that power and authority gave to us. We've received forgiveness, redemption, healing, freedom, prosperity, atonement for our sins. It's all been taken care of. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's be a victorious church. We can be because we have the power of Jesus Christ. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. It lives on the inside of me. So we can be, we have everything we need to be victorious people, to walk as a victorious church in the power of the resurrection, with the power of Jesus' name behind us, with the power of the blood of Jesus behind us. Let's be alive to the call and the mission of Jesus with the resurrection life flowing out of us. Let's live really like we are on the winning team, because church, we are on the winning team. Hallelujah. Why don't you stand with me? Praise God.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.